Okay, let's talk next about an official who is also under pressure but still on the job. 1 year ago this weekend, Iraq's prime minister took office, and it's been a grim year, which leads to the question of what Nouri al-Maliki has accomplished. When you ask David Satterfield, a senior State Department advisor, it may be revealing that he starts by explaining why Maliki hasn't done more. Can you describe something concrete that Prime Minister Maliki has accomplished in that year?
This government has been significantly challenged by the internal struggle to form a national vision, by the unhelpful actions of Iran and Syria. It's been challenged internally by a brutal Sunni insurgency, by a vicious al-Qaeda fundamentalist terror campaign in which many thousands of Iraqis continue to die. Those challenges notwithstanding, there are accomplishments. The security services of Iraq, particularly the Iraqi army, are more capable, more competent, more national. The government has moved forward on the beginnings of a political reconciliation process, but beginnings are not enough.
Well, that's what I wonder. If you ask what is something concrete that Maliki can point to for the past year, you can point to some efforts, as you said, but you cannot say that the constitution has been changed to include Sunnis, which is regarded as critical. You can't say that Iraq has figured out how to divide up its oil revenues. You can't really say that any of the largest goals have been met.
Steve, I can tell you that on the hydrocarbons issue, we are very confident that a national hydrocarbon law, a package of measures, will indeed be agreed upon and passed shortly.
Shortly meaning?
Shortly by this summer. You are quite correct, though, on other major issues. The fundamental agreement on what the future of Iraq should look like, that understanding very much needs to be reached and executed as rapidly as possible for Iraq's sake.
There, of course, is a more fundamental issue having to do with Nouri al-Maliki, which has been widely reported. He is in power in part because of the support of Muqtada al-Sadr, who is one of the major militia leaders, if not the most significant militia leader. Can he be effective battling Shiite militias and their power?
One of the premises for our willingness to make the commitment that we did to the surge in Baghdad was the Prime Minister's assurance that the security forces of Iraq would act on an even-handed basis and there would not be political interference in security decisions. We have seen those commitments both made and honored. And on the issue of Muqtada al-Sadr, you're quite correct. But in late November of last year, Muqtada broke with the government of Prime Minister Maliki, withdrew his forces from government and the parliament. He put them back in at the end of January, having accomplished absolutely nothing except demonstrating he had no ability to shape the behavior of the government, a government which continues to stand up to him, not just on the political sense, but also militarily.
Let me ask about militia members or so-called death squads who've been associated with the government itself, particularly the police, the national police, the interior ministry. If you were a Sunni Muslim Iraqi, would you feel comfortable being protected by the Iraqi police?
I certainly would not by the Iraqi police, and that is based on a very unfortunate record. There is a significant ongoing challenge in restructuring, retraining, vetting the police forces of Iraq.
And Prime Minister Maliki is focused on that, even though this may involve some of his political
allies.
The
Prime Minister has made very clear his own unhappiness with what had happened to the management of the police forces of Iraq. Not all of them, but significant elements of the police force.
What in the world can you tell Iraqis that would cause them to see their interests differently, given that they're acting this way after several years of war?
Every poll taken shows that the people of Iraq believe two things. First, they'd like to see foreign forces leave their country. Second, they do not want to see those forces leave until the country is more stable. The leaders of Iraq, all of them, need to understand what the consequences are if, in fact, they do not move forward and move forward rapidly. It is time for Iraq's leaders to move.
Ambassador, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
David Satterfield of the U.S. State Department.